Happy Palm Sunday, week before our Savior. Glad to have you guys all here. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. That's Luke chapter 19. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high. One will be handed to you so you can follow along with us. Again, Luke chapter 19. Veering a bit from our study through the book of Acts, always like to, on Palm Sunday, is just remind us what Jesus did for us. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We will pick up in verse 28. So if you have your Bibles ready there. Again, Luke 19, verse 28. That's where we'll start. And as always, before we get started, let's bow our hearts and ask God to bless this time. Father, how important it is that we are known as people of prayer. So even this morning, God, we come to you already having prayed many times over this building, over this space, every chair, over the worship team, over everything that happens here, the children's ministry. Each and every person here has been prayed for, God. Maybe not specifically by name, but you know them, God. You know every hair in their heads. And so we just pray, Lord, as we gather here this morning, that we are reminded of this wonderful week that we celebrate up until Resurrection Sunday, a week that is so important to the life and the heart and the mind and the salvation of all believers on this planet. Lord, as we celebrate the empty tomb, as we celebrate the victory over death, and as we talk this morning about Palm Sunday, I pray, God, that we would see these truths written in your word as a sign of your love for us. I thank you for each and every one who is here. I pray, God, that you would use us, not only this week, but throughout the year. Lord, we want to be those vessels of honor that are available to you, to be used by you. And so help us to submit ourselves to you because we belong to you. And so, God, as we study your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak into our circumstances, our situations, our struggles, our victories. Lord, that all the world would know that we belong to you. To you be the glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Palm Sunday. Did you know that the palm is only specifically mentioned in the Gospel of John? It's interesting that we call it Palm Sunday. I mean, all the other Gospels talk about branches and with such significance of the palm. Well, the donkey really is center focus on this particular area of Scripture, that we see our Lord having need of a donkey, having need for something to fulfill prophecy. Because there's no prophecy that says anything about people laying palm fronds necessarily. I mean, there was significance of the time, certainly. But in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Prophecy points out the significance of this donkey, that this would be the sign of the coming Messiah. And so when we read what we're going to read this morning, this was a sign to the people there in Jerusalem that their king was coming, that salvation was coming, the Messiah was being delivered. And if you've been a Christian for more than 10 minutes, you know the fact that they missed it. They didn't understand it. They didn't realize it. They should have been waiting for it. And it's a significance to me that this donkey that Jesus had need of reminds me that sometimes I have to look at myself as a donkey. One that's available to God. One that God can use. We should all be those willing vessels, as you heard in my prayer, to be used by God. Yes, we all come to Sunday morning services. We all come to church because we want God to meet our needs. We want God to speak into our lives. We want God to bless us. But do you think, as a Christian, every day, God, am I available to you? God, can you use me? See, there's one thing to be blessed by God, but there's other thing. There's such a blessing by God when we are used by the Lord. And I want to remind every single one of you in this room this morning, you have gifts and talents and you have abilities that God wants to use. It could be just a simple prayer. It could be a look. It could be, I don't know what it is and how God has gifted you, but God wants to use you. And the title of my message this morning is The Lord Needs You. The Lord needs you. Because you may be the only person that God can use to reach a person in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your community. Now, we got to stay humble, don't we? Does God really need us to accomplish His will? No. But God wants to use you. God wants you to be involved in the work that He is doing. And if you're here this morning and you've seen God work in your life, it is an amazing honor, is it not? To be used of the Lord in some way, to minister to someone in some way. As I shared the testimony of what the missions team did in Haiti, it is a blessing to us to know that our hard work is impacting someone's life. That's the beauty of it. And you don't have to go to Haiti to be involved in something like that. You can do it in your workplace. You can be that voice of reason. You can be that voice of the Lord, of encouragement and of love. Are you making yourself available to God? Because He does need you. And that's what I want to remind us of this morning. The donkey is, interestingly, a symbol of peace. And we'll see it in the scriptures, but as Jesus rode in on that donkey, it was a symbol of peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and He was entering into Jerusalem to bring that salvation to all who would believe in Him. And as He rides on this animal, He's bringing peace to the world. But you'll see again, His heart is broken because they did not know. They were not waiting for Him to return. See, it's interesting also to me that when we think about Jesus riding on it, man, I would want Him to ride in on a stallion. Right? You know, that would something big, something that would make a statement. And I hope this doesn't offend anybody. I mean, to me, a huge elephant with big tusks. Here comes the Lord. Because I just envision it on a donkey. Oh my gosh, I just remembered years ago, my wife and I went on this vacation, and we actually got to ride horses. My wife got this huge horse, strong, mighty. The horse they brought me was short. Back was a little... I honestly think I have a picture of my feet almost dragging on the ground. And I'm looking up at my wife going, this is fun. So Jesus riding in on a donkey wasn't something of big fanfare. It was something that was significant because, again, Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. And what I love about our God, what about Jesus, isn't Jesus read this in Zechariah and said, man, I need to get a donkey. He is the Word of God. He wrote that. He spoke that to Zechariah. He said, this is how I'm going to come. This is how I'm going to enter in. And this is the sign that they will know I'm coming. And so Jesus rides in on this donkey. And do you know, if you know the story where He tells the disciples, hey, go into the town over there. You're going to see a colt tied up. Go take it. If the owner says anything to you, just tell him that the Lord has need of it, and they'll give it to you. In those days, we might look at this and go, why a donkey? Why a colt? Why an animal like this? Do you know in the days that Jesus lived, in those times, having an animal like that was of great value? If you had, many of the people in there didn't even have animals. So there was an animal of great value. Do you know that in your pantry you have more in your pantry right now than typically someone who living in these times had their entire life? That's a humbling fact. So this was of great value. So you know, some people will say that Jesus, you know, almost tried to steal a donkey. Come on, please. Jesus doesn't do that. It is of great value. This animal would have been of great value to the owner. And it was an indication that he was looking to make sure that his needs were being met because he could easily sell that donkey for great value. So it was something of great value. Jesus needed a donkey to fulfill this prophecy, and He needs you and me to fulfill His purpose on this earth. Listen, God can do anything. He can speak it into existence. He could open up the heavens and just say, I am Jesus, I am God, but He wants to speak through you and through me. My question this morning, are we available to God in that way? Oh, we are thankful that He came. We are thankful that He gave us salvation through His death and resurrection. But guys, it's more than just salvation. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. So let's look at it. We'll look at three things as we go through this. Luke chapter 19, verse 28, we start. When He had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass when He drew near Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. So give me your attention here. The first thing when it comes to the Lord has need of you is the first thing we need to realize is the Lord needs you to trust him. The Lord needs you to trust him. Jesus spoke to these disciples and said, I need you to do something for me. I need you to go into a city, and I need you to find a colt tied there. And perhaps if someone does that, do you notice the power that our Lord has as he describes this to the disciples? With great detail. God doesn't do things vaguely, does he? No, he's specific. We may not understand it clearly. We may not understand what the Lord is trying to speak to us. But when Jesus gives instructions, when God gives us instructions, they're detailed. They're detailed. And we need to trust him. How many of us have heard God speak to us and then questioned the Lord? Or said, Lord, how's that going to work out? We cannot ever question God. When he speaks it to us, it's going to happen. Only God can do that. No one on the face of the earth can tell you something as detailed as the Lord, and you know that it's going to come to pass. So there are people in this room right now that God has spoken to you a truth. God has spoken to you something, and you need to believe it. You need to trust in him. He needs you to trust him because he knows what's best. Oh, we want God to do it our way, don't we? But no, he wants to do it his way. It's interesting, the first thing we see is that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. Now, we know that Jesus was not a popular guy at this particular time in history. They were wanting to kill him. They were going to take his life. But notice the confidence that our Lord has as he enters into Jerusalem. He knows he's going to go there. He knows he's going to be arrested. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to die. But our Lord is confident in his call, and we need to be standing with the Lord who is confident in the things that he is wanting to do in your life. If you look back on your past, you will see the Lord in your life working out every detail and working it out in a way that you didn't even have any clue. Because he is confident in what he wants to do in your life. Notice it says that God has needs. In verse 31, and if anyone asks you, why are you loosening this colt? Then you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. See, when I said, does the Lord really need anything? Here we see very clearly that Jesus has needs. He needed the disciples to go, and he needed this colt in order to enter into Jerusalem. God has needs, my friends. It's just amazing to me to think that Jesus would need anything. I mean, he can make it happen. He can say, colt, boom, there's a colt, right? I mean, he can do it. I love the fact that God loves us enough that he wants us to be involved in his work. There's nothing greater than being involved in the Lord's work. What is it that God is asking of you? How does God want you to be involved in his plan for your life? See, don't just go haphazardly through your life and wait for an epiphany, wait for just a miraculous thing to happen. When God has gifted you and given you gifts and talents and abilities, use them for him. Don't wait for necessarily opportunities. Make opportunities. Are you someone that has an amazing amount of faith in God? Are you someone that has an amazing knowledge and ability to share the word of God? Are you using those gifts and talents, or are you waiting for an opportunity? Guys, these are the times that we live in where we need to be the church that's active. We need to be the church that steps up in our gifts and talents and serve the Lord. Listen, we're a small church, and this church has a lot of needs. And we can all sit there and look, how come we don't have this? How come we don't have that ministry? Why isn't this happening? Because there's only so much a handful of people can do. This church needs a group of people to get involved. And I'm not the Lord. I'm not the one that gives you the call on your life. Because I know there's a lot of people, Pastor Rob, do you just tell me what to do and I'll do it? I will not tell you what to do. I'll tell you how to do it once you start doing it. No, just kidding. Because God's got to tell you. That's got to be a call from Him. Because if I ask you to make sure you sweep up that room after service starts, you know, well, I don't want to sweep. But if Jesus tells you to do it, guess what? It's a whole different thing, isn't it? Jesus asked me to do it. I can remember years ago, a brother of mine and I, we argued over who would clean out a dumpster in the facility that we were. I'm sitting after the fact, I'm like, did we just argue on who's gonna actually clean the dumpster? Because I wanted to clean it and he wanted to clean it. Because we were doing it for the Lord. It's a lot better than saying, you clean it, I'm not cleaning the dumpster, you clean it. I'm the pastor. I don't clean dumpsters. Yeah? Yeah, I do. I should. It's what God asks us to do. Do what God asks you to do, no matter how, because God's looking for faithfulness. You know what Jesus said, he that is faithful in a little can be trusted with much. Are you being faithful in the little things? Are you being faithful in the small things that God's asking you to do? Maybe you're a husband and God's saying, just love on your wife. Just do that. Love on her. Can you do that? And God will change it as he sees your faithfulness. There is something that is of great need in the body of Christ, and that is faithful brothers and sisters that are willing to do what God asks us to do. That's what he needs. And he needs you to trust him in doing it. Jesus had need of a boat to preach. Jesus had need of loaves and fishes to feed thousands. Jesus needed an upper room to do the Last Supper. Jesus needed a tomb from which to rise from. Jesus has great needs. And he wants to communicate those needs to his people and see if they will stand up. Our Lord has chosen to place himself in a position of need because that's when he shows us of our value. Because he wants us to be a part of it. I believe the reason is he wants us to partner with him in the things that he's doing. Man, there is nothing greater than to give a testimony and say, I did this because God called me to it. Because God called me to it. And that's the truth. Paul said this of Jesus. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Love that. He wants us to be rich in the things of him. He set the example for us so that we could get involved in what he's doing. Whether it's preaching the word or feeding the multitudes, the Lord is saying to you this morning, I need you. I need you. Don't wait for someone to come to you to get involved. Get involved. I can remember when I felt called to be a pastor. Another wise pastor said to me, well, if you're called to be a pastor, then be a pastor. Before you're ordained, before anything happens, be a pastor. Act like a pastor. So whatever it is you feel like God wants you to do, do it. Don't wait for the title. Don't wait for the recognition. Don't wait for someone to ask you. Just start doing it. So ask yourself this morning, how has God gifted me? I am thankful that there are men and women in this church who have the gift of prayer. And I don't have to ask them, hey, will you be praying? I know they're praying. I know they're praying. I know they're seeking the Lord for me, for this church, for you. That's what's needed. People that are willing to just do what they've been called to do. That's what God needs. These disciples went and found it exactly as Jesus told them. I think that's significant, don't you? I think that's significant that Jesus told them, you're going to go to the next town, you're going to see a donkey tied up, and then when the owner asks, tell them the Lord has need of it. And exactly as they found it. That must have been so encouraging to the disciples. And it is encouraging to you and me when God tells us to do something and we step out in faith to do it, no matter how nervous we are, or how scared we are, what fear we have, and then it turns out just like the Lord said. Thank you, Jesus. That's when you know you're doing the Lord's will. And that is my prayer for my life, and it's my prayer for your life, is that we would be people that are seeking, God, we want your will to be done. God, show me your will, that I will walk in your ways. Don't miss this either. Before the donkey could be used by the Lord, it needed to be loosed. It needed to be set free. There was a story, I don't remember where it is, but I think it's in John's Gospel, where Jesus heals a woman who was lame, bent over in half on the Sabbath. And of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were ridiculing Jesus for working on the Sabbath. He said, 6 days are you can get healed, so come on those days, but not on the Sabbath. And Jesus looks to him, says, do you not loose your donkey and bring it to feed it, give it water on the Sabbath? Why shouldn't I heal this woman who's been in this condition for 18 years? Guys, God needs to loose us. Even though we may be saved, even though we may be committed to the Lord, even though we know we're going to heaven, there are things that sometimes bind us, things that hold us up, and Jesus needs to set us free from those things. And I think one of the worst things that we're bound up is the way we think of ourselves. Be careful of that. Certainly have a humble attitude of yourself, but don't put yourself in a position where you don't think God can use you, because God can use anybody. God used a donkey. God can use anything. He can use you. And that's so, so important. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. Look at me in verse 35. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples, notice it's disciples, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They're praising Jesus for what he's done. That's raising Lazarus. That's doing the amazing miracles, raising the dead. And then it says in verse 38, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They recognize Jesus as Messiah. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But look, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Here's Jesus entering into Jerusalem. The Messiah is coming. And the only ones that are rejoicing are the disciples, the followers of Christ. Not only are we supposed to trust him, there's a great need that we trust him, but there's a great need in the church today that we praise him, that we worship him. Guys, we worship the Creator. We worship our Messiah. We worship Jesus, our Savior. That is why we come on Sunday mornings, to praise his name. I sure do hope that last night you didn't cheer for the Preds more than you cheer for your Savior, Jesus. He should be the most important thing in your life. I'm glad the Preds won. Don't get me wrong. But I went to bed before overtime. The fact is, it's so easy to get caught up in the things of this world that we put more stock in that. I've said it about our worship team. If you practice more for a gig on Friday night than you do up for Sunday morning, what a shame that is. And I'm thankful that our team doesn't do that. At least I don't know why they do. I don't think they do. Guys, is Jesus the number one priority? Because we need a church. God needs a church in these days of people that are going to stand up and worship him. And I'm not just saying on Sunday mornings in the protection of these four walls. I'm saying on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, that we are a group of people that are willing to praise God, to praise his name. And that doesn't mean singing to him only. That means living for him. That means proclaiming him. Do your coworkers know you love Jesus? Do your neighbors know that you love the Lord? It's our job as believers to show the world how much we appreciate what Jesus has done for us. This is a great reminder for all of us that we got to praise the Lord. We all love a good song, don't we? You're driving in the car, your favorite song comes on, man, you're singing it. Don't you love watching people singing in their cars with the windows up? Can't hear the music, but you can see them acting like a fool. There's something about praising God, even when you don't feel like it. Even when everything in your life has fallen apart, even when your finances are in the toilet, even when your relationships are awful, there's something about just focusing on God and thanking him for what he's done. When we go to heaven, It's not going to be because we got our relationships right, because we got our prayer right, because we got our devotion time right. When we go to heaven, it's because God got it right. His timing. So guys, worship him in everything that you're doing. That's what the disciples were doing. And notice the Pharisees. They're like, hey, tell your guys to keep it down. Don't be worried. Now, again, the Messiah's come. They should have known. These are the people that knew the word of God. They should have known the Messiah was coming. Daniel 9:25 tells them exactly the day that the Messiah would enter in. And they're saying, can you keep the guys down? Can I say to you, don't let anybody in your life keep you from praising the Lord. And I know that's hard if you have an unbelieving spouse. I know that's hard if you have an unbelieving family or maybe an unbelieving boss. But you praise him no matter what. I can remember when my mom was saved and my dad wasn't. For the first few years, my mom would go, oh, what a beautiful day the Lord has made. And my dad would give her a hard time, like, why does it have to be God? But she never stopped giving God praise. She never stopped recognizing the things that God has done. That's praising through difficulty. That's not stopping. That's not hiding. I mean, can you imagine? The disciples are so grateful that finally their salvation is coming, the very thing that they've been hearing about. And then everybody else, your peer pressure, right? Hey, keep it down over there, you Christians. Man, wouldn't it be great if neighbors around here would complain to the city of Brentwood that, hey, that church over there, they praise too loud. That'd be awesome. I would love to get that call. Hey, you guys got to keep it down over there. Heck no, we won't. Turn it up. Praise that. Never allow anyone or anything to keep you from praising God. And I'm telling you, if you will begin to praise him, even in those times when you're by yourself, even in those difficult times, your situations will be easier to endure. The circumstances in your life will be easier to come up under because your focus is on God and not on your problem. I forget who it was. I think it was just this week. Someone said, I mean, it might have been you, has a plaque that says, don't tell God your problems. Don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about God. See, we all, man, this is happening in my life and this is happening in my life. Why is this going on? Why am I not making enough money? Why don't I get enough time off? I work so much. Well, tell God. God, you see my problems? Help me with them, because you're bigger than my problems. That's really where our focus should be. I love to remind myself that the hearts of these Pharisees were harder than the rocks when Jesus was coming. Jesus said, you got such hard hearts that even rocks are soft enough to praise me if these were to shut up. I love that. Or to be silent, not shut up. Jesus never said shut up. Is there anything that interferes with your worship? Maybe on Sunday mornings, right? I mean, do you stand here on Sunday mornings and think about, oh, tomorrow's Monday. I don't want to go to work. Or maybe you think about yesterday and what happened yesterday. Guys, don't let anything slow your worship. Bring it to the Lord. Give it to him. He loves you. Verse 40, he says, and then he answered him, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, look at this, the things that make for your peace. Jesus' coming in Jerusalem was a sign of peace. Again, the donkey was a symbol of peace. He's riding in as the Prince of Peace. And he's seeing that they are not acknowledging that. They are not acknowledging him as king. They're acknowledging him as a fool. And he's heartbroken over it. Let's see, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Why did Jesus cry? because he saw the hearts that were unwilling to accept him as the Savior. John's gospel says this: he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. I pray that this verse never speaks of your life or my life. He came to give us peace. Are we living in peace? See, I can give myself a whole list of things that are difficult in my life, a whole lot of things that are stealing my peace and stealing my joy. But when I'm reminded of Jesus coming for me and saving me, all those things go away. And God's peace that surpasses understanding rules in my life. Is it ruling in yours? I love to remind believers of the peace that God has brought to them, to remind them of the hope that they have in Christ. Time and time again, people will always come, this is what's going on in my life. I can't, it's so hard, Pastor Rob, what do I do? Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You've heard me say it, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way. When people come forward with their problems, I'm like, praise God for your problems. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. That's a promise. God uses our circumstances and our situations to see if we'll submit them to him and surrender ourselves to him. That's what he needs us to do. Because we need to know who God is. You need to trust him, you need to praise him, and you need to know who he is. They didn't know, and it broke the heart of God. Just like Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. His heart was broken that they were that hurtful and not believing in his resurrection, not believing in his power. It's easy for us to get fooled by the enemy's tricks and lies if we're not focusing on God. So maybe that's been you recently. You haven't been focusing on God. You've been focusing on your circumstances and not on the Lord. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Because we don't want the Lord to look at our lives and be sad. We don't want the Lord to look at us and cry because we don't have faith in him. Because we're not believing him. Because we're not receiving him completely. We got to know those verses that tell us that we're more than conquerors. That we're victors. That we're already seated in a place of victory. That's the truth, no matter what happens. I don't think we're going to get to heaven and sit down and talk about all the things we suffered in this earth. I can't remember things anyway on earth. I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to really have amnesia. Totally forget about every problem. You've heard me say it before. People say, man, when I get to heaven, I got a few things to ask God. Please. What are you going to ask God? Man, you're awesome. Really. It's going to pale in comparison. So as we look at this story and we see what Jesus has done and we see the need that he had and we see the obedience of the disciples and we see his confidence as he went to Jerusalem. Guys, we serve a God. We serve a Savior that is seated at the right hand of the Father and ever intercedes on our behalf. Jesus is praying for you. And I believe if Jesus is praying for me, then I believe he's praying prayers that are going to get answered. And if he's praying for me and he's allowing certain things to happen in my life, then it's for my good. And whatever's happening in your life, it's for your good. It's producing in you something that's far greater than any material blessing that he could give you. Do a little dance. I love the Lord so much because he didn't abandon his people. His heart is broken that they didn't receive him, but he still loves them. And it reminds me, if he loves them who crucified him and who ridiculed him and who spat upon him, if he loves them, then man, he sure does love me. And all the things I do that are not pleasing to the Lord, I am thankful that he always loves me. And he always loves you. They gave up on him. May we never give up on him. May we all be available to the Lord, starting right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till situations get better in your life. They're not going to get better. Anytime you make a commitment to God, guess what? Things are going to get harder. If you know, you know. If you've ever served the Lord or you've ever done something that you know God has called you, you know there's obstacles. You know there's opposition. I remember when I first started teaching Bible studies, it seemed like every time I would go to teach a Bible, that day I would start feeling sick. There were times I was sick to my stomach, but other times I was just literally feeling sick. Because the enemy doesn't want it to happen. But great, we said this on the mission trip, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We said that day after day. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. I remember, I think it was Peru. We were driving and one of the gentlemen on the bus was going to be leading a leading a Bible study. And literally, just as we got to the bus station, I mean, he fell out sick. I mean, to the point he got off the bus and laid on the ground. We knew immediately that this was just an attack of the enemy because he was the one that was supposed to teach the Word of God. So we all got around him and we laid hands on him and we prayed over him. We asked God to raise him up and to heal him and to bind the enemy. And sure enough, he rose up, immediately felt better to God's glory and was able to lead a Bible study. Guys, we got to push through sometimes. I think sometimes we just, I don't know what it is. It's a weakness in us that we just want to give up too quickly. Don't give up. God wants to use you. We are on a mission of hearts reaching other hearts, of souls reaching out to other souls. There is a world out there that's hurting, that doesn't have answers. We have answers. We have the answer, and that's a relationship with Christ. And the Lord needs you to get the words out. The Lord needs you to tell people that God loves you, that God wants to use your life. God wants to set you apart. God needs your talents to build a better world. God needs your resources to alleviate hunger, to even poverty, homelessness. I mean, this is what the church, we have the resources to help this world change. We need to do it. We need to not wait for the government to do it. We need to wait for others to do it. We need to do it. And God needs your faith and your efforts to accomplish his will. Is that your heart? To accomplish his will? I've always been thankful that the Bible tells us that as often as we do this, that we're literally proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Proclaiming not only his death, but his resurrection. The life that he lived, the perfect life, that fulfilled God's requirement. Sinless life. No one in this room can live a sinless life. But because of our faith in Christ, because of your faith in Jesus, God sees you as sinless. And we all need to remember that. We all need to be reminded of that. Because our focus needs to be on Jesus and not ourselves. The Bible says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" If you're here this morning and you have put your faith in Jesus, as you hold these elements, they're a symbol, they're an indication of what Jesus has done for you. Paid the ultimate price. Stepped in your place so that you didn't have to. And because of your faith and trust in him, you stand before God righteous and holy. You may not feel it, you may not necessarily experience it, but you need to know that. And we do this to remember that, so that we can leave this place feeling victorious, feeling strengthened, encouraged, not defeated like the world wants us to feel. So as you partake of these elements this morning, give Jesus thanks. Thank him for what he's done, but also thank him for what he's doing in your life today. That's praising the Lord, thanking him for what he's done. But yet then, thank him for the things he's going to do, those things that are yet to come and happen in your life. Believe by faith that he needs you. Believe by faith that he has a purpose and a plan for each and every life in this room. So let's all take of the bread and of the cup and give him praise and thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just praise you this morning. We are so grateful and thankful that we know the way to salvation. We know the way to heaven. That is through your Son, Jesus, who willingly came and gave his life, teaching us, instructing us. We thank you for the Word of God that reveals to us these truths, that they are not hidden, God, that they are made available to us. So I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that this week we would walk in victory, that we would walk in the confidence, the same confidence that you had when you were making your way to Jerusalem, that no matter what happens in our lives, we want your will to be done. No matter what happens in our lives, we want others to know that we belong to you, that you love us and we love you. And because of that, we have a heart for people. All people, God, not just certain kinds of people, all people, because that displays and conveys your heart. So I pray for our church. I pray for each and every person. God, raise us up. Use us in powerful ways, but also help us to get out of the way and give you all the glory. We love you, Lord. We're excited about this week. We're excited about next weekend as we celebrate the empty tomb. Glorify yourself through us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.